Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Wrap-Up, a production of The Balance. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they wrap up the last 24 hours of sports for you. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
And welcome to another episode of The Balance. My name is Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. Good morning, Mr. Joshua. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm excited for the game tomorrow. How about you, Tom?
I am pumped and ready to go. The Jets are here in town and ready to take on the Colts. It's snowing right here in at the Balance Studio. We got ourselves a winter wonderland, but it's going to be warm and hot in Lucas Oil Stadium. Well, we're going to jump right into the Daily Zap, Josh, and on the other side of the Zap, we'll be back.
Thursday's Daily Zap on NBA.com. A look back at TNT's doubleheader that got started with the Mavs and Thunder. Sean Marion gets a start. Caron Butler, of course, out for the remainder of the year after surgery on his knee. Marion, with 21 points in the first half, finished with a season-high 25. Serge Ibaka, he'll be in the dunk contest this year. Give that one about a three. Pretty nice. He had 13 points. Jason Terry was 19 in the game. OKC seemed to be running away with this one late. Mavs would make a run, but in the end, Thunder hold them off. 99-95, the Mavs fall to 2-4 without Dirk Nowitzki. The nightcap in Sacktown, Kings and Nuggets. Sacramento took control of this thing early, but Carmelo led the Nuggets on a charge to get them back in it. But the Kings would respond with a 12-2 run to end the third quarter, and they kept it up in the fourth. Tyreek Evans, 12 assists to go with 27 points in the game. He was putting on a show. Here's the reigning rookie of the year. To the cup he goes. Sacktown, the worst team in the league, the best team of the two on this night, as they win easily. That's your Daily Zap.
I want to thank our friends over at NBA TV for providing us with the Daily Zap today, as usual. At this time, I'd like to go into a bit more detail on the first game, which would be the Thunder and the Mavericks. Oklahoma City did win 99-95. Kevin Durant had another strong game for the Oklahoma City Thunder at 28 points. Russell Westbrook had 15 points and 9 rebounds. An all-around good game for the Thunder. Sean Marion had 25 points, but the Mavericks appear to be hurting. They may be on a downward spiral without Dirk, and now the loss of Caron Butler. So they need some reinforcements. I don't think they have any room to go out and sign anybody, so we'll have to see how that happens. The Thunder are now 24-13. The Mavs are now 26-9. And then in the nightcap, Sacramento played their best game of the year and beat the Denver Nuggets 122-102. Tyreek Evans, the defending rookie of the year, had 27 points and 12 assists. DeMarcus Cousins, the big 6'10 rookie out of Kentucky, had 20 points, probably his best game as a professional. And for Denver, Carmelo Anthony had 26 points. Nene had 17. Chauncey Billups had 16. Al Harrington had 15. Sacramento is no longer the worst team in the NBA. They are now 8-25. The worst team in the NBA would be the 8-27 Cavaliers. The Nuggets are holding right to their spot in the Western Conference. Right now they'd be the fourth seed. They're 20-15. Tonight at 7 o'clock, the Indiana Pacers take on the league leading San Antonio Spurs at Seco Fieldhouse. George Hill makes his only appearance of the season for the former Broad-Ripple and IUPUI star. Keys to the game, Pacers have to get out to an early lead. Warre Hibbert has to stay out of foul trouble, and we got to get some type of production out of the power forward spot. And that's your NBA for today.
All right, Josh, thank you very much for wrapping up the NBA for us. You are on the wrap-up right here, a production of The Balance, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also catch all of our archived shows on www.thebalanceonline.com. You can also pull it off iTunes, listen to us anytime during the day that you want, and also find us on Facebook. Just search The Balance or send us an email, tbalance@ymail.com, or follow us on Twitter under T Balance. Real quickly, a note on the NBA there, Josh. The All-Star voting is up and running, and obviously no surprise, Kobe Bryant is the top overall vote-getter for the All-Star game in his home Staples Center on February 20th. He'll be facing a powerhouse Eastern team. Of course, LeBron James will probably be there, Dwayne Wade and Kevin Garnett among the few. Who are we missing? Who do you think are going to get the top All-Star voting there, Josh?
I think Kevin Durant will be there. Look for Shaq to get one more vote to the All-Star team. Jason Kidd, Steve Nash. The usuals.
Okay. Yeah, the usual suspects, right? Well, it's going on, so you have to make sure that you guys vote for your All-Star. Guys, let's try to get some Pacers on there. What do you think, Josh?
It would be nice to see a Pacer in the All-Star game, although at the moment none of them deserve to be there.
It's been a while. Well, bouncing over to the NCAA, wrap us up. What happened yesterday in the NCAA basketball, Josh?
There was a couple of big games yesterday. Number 7, Villanova beat University of Southern Florida 83-71. Corey Stokes scored 19 and was 22 in the second half. Dominique Cheek had 17 for the Wildcats. Combined, they went 9 of 9 from three-point land. Villanova's now 13-1, 3-0 in the Big East. University of Southern Florida is 10-5, 0-3. Villanova gets ready to take on the Notre Dame Irish tomorrow. Number 25, Cincinnati, 66. Xavier, 46. Yates for Cincinnati had 22 points and 14 rebounds in an absolute huge game. Xavier falls to 8-5. Cincinnati improves to 15-0, their second best start in school history, trailing only 1998-1999. And other top 25 action. Number 20, Illinois, 88. Northwestern, 63. Great win for the Illini. McCarmy had 14. Tisdale, 13. Mike Davis, 12 for the Illini. As they improved to 13-3, 3-0 in the Big Ten. Northwestern's never made the big dance, and they're not going to make it this year. Looks like they're 9-4, 0-3 in the Big Ten. And a new team that we're going to start covering, Oakland, 85, IUPUI, 71. Reggie Hamilton had 28 points for Oakland. Alex Young and Leroy Nobles both had 18 for IUPUI. Oakland improves to 10-8. IUPUI falls to 8-9. And tonight, a very angry Butler team takes on a very angry Cleveland State team. Butler's angry they got blown out by 24 the other day. Cleveland State's angry they're tired of hearing about Butler. That game's at 7 p.m. on ESPNU.
All right, thanks for that update there, Josh. $2 bill, Josh. Make sure you also check out Josh's power rankings on our website, www.thebalanceonline.com. Just click blog, and they're all right there. Again, that's www.thebalanceonline.com. Good point on mentioning IUPUI. We like to cover the local teams here in Indianapolis as much as possible. Of course, Butler is getting a lot of national attention, but IUPUI is certainly a team to contend with there in the NCAA. Also, speaking of the Horizon standings, Butler, of course, everybody knows about, but Valpo had a pretty good game yesterday, I hear, Josh. Is that correct?
That is correct. I can't remember what the final score was, but I know Valpo continues to look strong in the Horizon League.
Yeah, Valpo is certainly one to contend with. They're certainly right there hanging with Butler at both of them are 2-1 in the conference and 10-5 and overall. And there's not that much of a difference between Cleveland State and Valpo. So 4-0 to Cleveland State. They seem to be rocketing out there over there in the Horizon League. And that's one of the things about here at the Balance that you'll hear, that you won't hear in a lot of other radio broadcasts, is talk about some of the other leagues that go out there. You know, obviously, we've got the Big Ten and the SEC and the Big East and all of those teams that we hear about all the time. Of course, ACC just dominating out there, 14-0 overall. They're certainly the real deal. Big 12, Kansas is the real deal as well. But some of the teams we like to talk about so that come March, we can say we told you so, are teams that are that you don't hear about every day. And we have a couple Indiana teams right there in the Horizon League. And, of course, not to mention IUPUI, who is always a good team to contend with. And we'll see where things stand out. Excited about having Greg Straw on the air with us on Saturday morning. And he's going to talk some Colts football and IUPUI basketball. He's very knowledgeable about that as well. Well, my name's Sean. Right alongside me is $2 Bill. Josh, you've stumbled across the wrap-up right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're a production of The Balance, and we're on every Saturday morning from 9 until 11 o'clock, our new and improved time for 2011. Josh, we've got an exciting show coming up on Saturday. Real quickly, hit the highlights of some of the things we're talking about on Saturday.
We're going to talk about the Jim Harbaugh watch in a little bit more detail. We're going to give you Colts fans one New York Jet that you can cheer for and why you should do so. We're going to talk about some of the people leaving early for the draft. And, of course, we're going to talk about Wild Card Weekend.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Make sure you join us. And also, we broadcast live on Ustream, so you can certainly hear us, watch us live on Ustream as well. And we'll be broadcasting live from right here at the Balance Studio in Indianapolis, Indiana. All right, guys, moving on over to the NFL, the Jets, the Colts. And then, of course, we've got the Ravens and the Chiefs and the Packers and the Eagles and the Saints and the Seahawks. First game on Saturday, Saints-Seahawks. What's going on with that game? I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but anything new to report between the Saints and the Seahawks game on Saturday afternoon? Well, tomorrow afternoon there, Josh.
Matt Hasselbeck will get the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. He has acknowledged so much as it could be his last game if the Seahawks lose. For those of you who don't remember, Matt Hasselbeck did start Super Bowl 40. Against the New England Patriots, but the Patriots ultimately won. That's probably the highlight of his career. But I'm sure being the first 7-9 team to win a playoff game would just about top that.
Okay, yeah, and that's coming up tomorrow afternoon, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. They're at Quest Field in Seattle, Washington. Weather could be a factor, 43 degrees. And rain, kind of a rain slush mixture out there. Like you said, this could be Hasselbeck's last game with Seattle. Like we talked about yesterday, they're the proverbial underdogs against a powerhouse Saints, Drew Brees, Reggie Bush, who are there to win a game and make it happen. So we'll certainly keep our eyes on that and keep in mind you can get up-to-date stats on everything on that right here on the line, www.thebalanceonline.com. Okay, one of the biggest games of the night in prime time tomorrow night, Colts, Jets. What's going on with that game there, Josh?
Before I get into that game, I just wanted to give you guys a preview of tomorrow. I will be giving you six keys for every team that plays tomorrow and what they must do to win. As far as the Colts-Jet game go, Colts need to rest up today. Just keep their mouth shut like they have been all week. Let the Jets talk trash. Talk about how it's personal. Talk about how they're tied to Peyton Manning. Just put all that on the bulletin board. Don't respond. Be the classy Colts we've come to know. Let the Jets talk today, and we'll talk on the field tomorrow.
Absolutely. And I want to tell you one thing. It's going to be a game. It's going to be personal between the Colts and the Jets, like we've talked about all week long since the Colts hit the playoffs. Seems like it's been the longest week in the NFL. I'm ready to get this game going. I'm ready to get it gone and over with. I'm ready for this win. I think that the Jets will come and bring it. Remember last year they went on an improbable playoff run as a fifth seed in last January and appeared to be headed for a stunning Super Bowl appearance before, they ran smack dab into Peyton Manning and the Colts, and that's happening again this year, and we're going to see what happens. And according to Rex Ryan, yes, he did say this, folks, Peyton Manning, nobody studies Peyton more than Peyton Manning, not even Tom Brady. What do you think about that comment, Josh?
I don't understand Rex Ryan. He's calling out Peyton Manning and Tom Brady at the same time. He needs to stop writing checks that he's not sure his football team can cash.
Well, we'll see. You know, here's the thing. That's just I don't understand Rex Ryan. Why bring attention to your competitor on Saturday? But, hey, it is what it is. Another game going on Sunday is the Ravens and the Chiefs and the Packers and the Eagles. Eagles are going to have to play a good game to beat the Packers. The Packers are ready to come in and ready to win some games. So we'll see what happens. My money's with the Eagles, especially if Michael Vick gets any bit of playing time against the Packers. I think it's all but over for the Packers. But I know a lot of you guys out there are cheeseheads, like to see your Packers win. But we'll see what happens come Sunday afternoon, 4:30 Eastern time. Also, breaking news, Dolphins decide that after all that talk, all that hype, with Jim Harbaugh, they're gonna keep their current head coach Soprano. Josh, what is going on down there in South Beach? Come on.
That is the lame duck of all lame duck coaches. His players aren't gonna listen to him. They already know the owner doesn't want him there. The owner's acting like the guy who asked the hot girl to the prom. After he already had a prom date, the hot girl said no, and then he still had the nerve to ask his original date to go to the prom with him.
I absolutely 100% agree with you, and I couldn't have put it any better myself. The Miami Dolphins, like I said, will retain Coach Tony Soprano. And, of course, that's what Chris Morrison said on Thursday night. So pretty reliable source there. Stanford coach Jim Harbaugh met earlier yesterday with Miami, and all signs pointed that he would be going down there to Miami to be the next head coach for a sizable amount of money. And I know we'll certainly get into Harbaugh watch more tomorrow. And I know the Broncos plan on sitting down and talking with Harbaugh as well. So we'll see what happens. Actually, I got one of the stories that we missed there when we were talking about NCAA. Luck is not going into the draft. He's staying right there at Stanford. So I, in my opinion, and we'll certainly get into more of this tomorrow, Jim Harbaugh needs to stay there at Stanford at least another year. And if he's going to move, Michigan is the place that he needs to go to. So, like I said, Broncos are talking to him, and we'll certainly get into all of that during Harbaugh Watch tomorrow. Malarkey cancels his interviews with the Broncos. So maybe he feels like the competition's a little bit too stiff. Maybe Harbaugh will end up with the Broncos. I'm kind of reminded of when LeBron James, is he going to Cleveland? Is he going to Miami? Is he going to the Knicks? Maybe he's waiting for a primetime special, Josh. What do you think?
I don't think Harbaugh will do that, but it is time. He even needs to tell Stanford he's coming back. Or look, I'm gone if he does leave Stanford. Wow, can you imagine the line of coaches interested in that job, especially with Andrew Luck still under center?
Oh, absolutely. They're not going to have a problem getting a coach, and that's what Harbaugh needs to do. He needs to make a decision and make it very quickly so that Stanford knows what to do with their program, and quite frankly, so that we can quit talking about Jim Harbaugh. But anyway, we'll certainly get more into detail about that tomorrow on the balance right here on Blog Talk Radio and Ustream. Remember, you can catch all of our archived shows online, www.thebalanceonline.com, and also download us off of iTunes. So really good to have you along throughout the season of the NFL. And moving out of the NFL, we're going right over to wrap up. Actually, you know what? Real quickly, Josh, and I apologize about this. I meant to run this earlier. As everybody knows, there's a new overtime rule that's going to be in effect, well, beginning tomorrow. And it could have a vital impact on the outcome of some of the games. And history could be made tomorrow. Here's AP football, pro football writer Barry Wilder talking about the new overtime rule.
There's a new rule that coaches and the players have to deal with. At the beginning of overtime, if you win the coin toss and then receive and then kick a field goal, well, guess what? The other team's going to get a chance to either kick a field goal or score a touchdown and win the game. No longer is the first drive ending in a field goal going to end the overtime. That's what happened in the NFC Championship game last year, and it prompted this change. If the change works, I think we might see it in the regular season down the line. Most of the coaches are trying to figure out, does it pay to even go for a field goal on that first drive when a touchdown will win the game and end it right there? So it'll be a new dynamic to look at if we ever get into overtime in these playoffs.
All right, thanks, Barry Wilder, AP pro football writer, for that soundbite and that definition of the new overtime rule that's going to be coming into play. Shifting gears over to the NHL. Josh, what happened over in the NHL yesterday?
Well, if I could real quick, I just want to thank my friend Mike Lombardi on the NFL Network for updating the explanation of the overtime rule. If teammates, say the Colts, win the coin toss, they onside kick and kick a field goal, the game will indeed be over. The key word to learn, and I'll explain more about this tomorrow, is opportunity to possess the football. I'll get into that tomorrow. But moving on into the NHL, last night, Minnesota Wild 3, the Bruins 1. Flyers 4, and the Devils 2. The Devils continue to struggle. The Blue Leafs 6, the Blues 5. Wow, what a high-scoring hockey game.
Canadians, I watched that game, as a matter of fact. Sorry,
was
Josh,
it good?
I was just saying. Oh, it was good. I watched it. I'm a big Blues fan myself, and I watched it here at the Balance Studio a little bit last night, and what a good game that was. I thought I was watching basketball or something there for a second. But anyway, go ahead.
Funny you should mention that you thought you were watching basketball. I was supposed to be on Fox Sports Indiana. Canadiens 2, Penguins 1. Huge news in the NHL. Sidney Crosby will miss the next week due to a concussion. I'm a huge Penguins fan, so please hurry up and get better. Oilers 2, Islanders 1. Coyotes 2, Avs 0. The Predators continue to be on a winning streak as they beat the Kings 5-2. Buffalo Sabres 3, San Jose Sharks 0.
Okay, thanks, Josh. And like you, go ahead, Josh.
I was just saying that's your NHL scores from yesterday.
I apologize there. Your Penguins are certainly on top of the ice there. Pittsburgh leading the pack there. Right behind them is Tampa Bay, and then Boston. And then over in the Western Conference, Vancouver, Detroit, and Dallas all lead the top three of the NHL. Guys, we will be doing a lot of covering of the NHL right here on the Balance and the Wrap-Up every single day. So I want to make sure that we do make sure that we cover that. So all you hockey fans, make sure that you shoot us an email. Who you want to talk about, what are your favorite teams, and what's going on. Some of the action tonight, Carolina there at Florida. Tonight, 7:30, the Hurricanes and the Panthers go at it. The Hurricanes 18 and 15, 42 points. Panthers 18 and 2, 38 points. I tell you what, the Florida Panthers came out on top during a thrilling overtime game in their last meeting with Carolina, and it won't take long for the Hurricanes to get their shots at revenge. So we'll see what happens there. Also, Toronto and Atlanta, 7:30 tonight. The Maple Leafs come in 15-20 for 34 points, and the Thrashers 22-15-6, 50 points. The Atlanta Thrashers slumped to end 2010. The year was brought better with better results, playing their first game at Phillips Arena in 2011. There probably is some trash talk going on there, but the Thrashers look to win 3-straight win on Friday night when they take on the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are trying for 3 consecutive road victories for the first time in more than a year. So, very exciting time with the NHL. Of course, Ottawa and Chicago, the Blackhawks meet on the ice 8:30 p.m. tonight. The Blackhawks are always an exciting team to watch. They're coming in 21-18-3 at 45 points. Senators 16-19-5 and 37 points. Currently 10th in the Western Conference after a disappointing first half of the season, the Chicago Blackhawks have plenty of work to do if they plan on defending the Stanley Cup championship. And those Blackhawks, if they're anything like every year, they will be there. Also, the Rangers and Dallas meet tonight, 8:30, 9 o'clock. Detroit and Calgary meet on the ice at 9 o'clock p.m. Red Wings come in 25-10-5, 55 points. They're always a very good team to match up with on the ice every single year. And the Flames, 18-23 and 39 points. And so a lot of exciting hockey going on. And remember, we're going to start covering the hockey in a lot more detail right here on the Balance and on the wrap-up. And you're right here. You've found us right here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, don't forget to find out, check out our YouTube channel and check us out online on www.thebalanceonline.com. 3 minutes left, Josh. What do we got going on?
I just wanted to remind people that tonight is the Cotton Bowl between LSU and Texas A&M, and also to tune in tomorrow for what me and Tom hope will be a much improved, much more substantial Balance from here on.
Okay, that's right. And like Josh said, the Cotton Bowl is tonight. The AT&T Cotton Bowl Classic. That's tonight. The LSU Tigers and Texas A&M Aggies do battle tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. Going to be a very good game. LSU is always a tough team to beat, and I tell you what, they're ready to go. The 11th ranked LSU Tigers closed out their preparations for the 75th AT&T Cotton Bowl Classic with a light walkthrough at Cowboys Stadium. So it should be a very good game tonight, and we'll see how that plays out. Josh, we're going into the 2 minute warning. Go ahead and give us our two minute warning thoughts there, buddy.
Make sure you tune in tomorrow from 9 to 11 for our new time and new and improved Balance, and also watch Indiana Pacers tonight.
That's right. Indiana Pacers and the Spurs do battle again in Seco Fieldhouse right here in Indianapolis. Also, the Balance will be on Hardball Watch, a Colts Watch, and for joining us tomorrow, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and also live on Ustream. My name's Tom. Been right alongside with me today. It's been $2 bill, Josh. Josh, great to have you along. I know you bear the pain today a little bit longer than you expected to. Appreciate it, Josh, out of Root Canal. I hope things get better for you there, Josh. My name's Tom. This is the wrap up on the Balance, and you guys have been wrapped up.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bleep, son of a bleep, gun. You thought I was gonna say son of a didn't you?
That's all, folks.
My master made me this collar so that I may talk, squirrel.